This evening we are continuing from where we stopped, that is the believer's basic responsibility and doing good deeds, the second part of doing good deeds. We had earlier defined what doing alms means. We said doing alms is doing or performing acts of kindness to a person or people or group of people, including those who are undeserving, those who are unthankful, those who are ungrateful, but who need to be shown the kindness of God. And we do this act of kindness out of a heart of love, the love that God has given to us, the one that we have received from God. We saw the examples of the Good Samaritan who showed kindness to someone of a different ethnic group or different tribe. He crossed over to that fellow and took care of him. We noted when we read Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, for God was with him. That we are anointed to do good deeds. The anointing is not just there to speak in tongues. It's not just there to come and wave hand and do all kinds of things and call things for ourselves. No, we are anointed to go about doing good deeds. I think that's where we concluded. Okay, so we'll take off from there today. Let's just read the main text, which is Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 1 through to verse 4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Praise the name of the Lord. So we've defined already doing alms as acts of kindness. Now what we want to do today is basically to review various acts of kindness that have been performed from the scriptures and learn for ourselves what we ought to do and how we ought to do them. And then we'll conclude by looking at this part of hypocrisy in doing alms. So let's begin by looking at Acts chapter 3 verse 1 to 10. We may not be reading all the scriptures in these verses that I'm calling, but there are some pertinent aspects that I'm going to draw attention to. Now in Acts chapter 3 verse 1 to 10, we know the story very well, how a blind man was always placed at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, and how this man would be there begging for alms. And on one occasion, Peter and John, I think around 9 a.m. or is it 12 p.m. or thereabout, they were going to the temple to pray. And when they approached, as they approached the temple entrance, the man was there begging them, begging alms. And the Bible tells us, and I'm going to read from verse 3. Let me just read from verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That is, expecting to receive money. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, many of us, the reason why I've taken this as an example, is many people believe that doing alms is about giving money. It's more than that. Peter said clearly, he said, silver and gold have I none. He didn't have money to give to the man. But he said, but such as I have, give I thee. In doing acts of kindness, you give such as you have. What was it that Peter had? He had the authority of the Lord Jesus to bring healing to this man's case. And he applied it. It is such as you have. Nobody expects that everybody will have money to give to people. No, you may not have, but such as you have. I remember a brother who came to do baby dedication when we were in Silverbed. And he brought, chicken and yam. It was what he had. And he brought it and dropped it there. That is his own thanksgiving. So let's not think that doing good or doing kindness has to be tied with money. Not always. It is such as you have. For example, it is possible for you to do acts of kindness to the elderly who are living in your neighborhood. You can help them to go and buy stuff. You may not have the money to buy it. Mama, give me your money. Let me go and buy for you. And of course, you don't go there to cheat. You're going there to do acts of kindness to this woman who has nobody around to help her. Acts of kindness includes praying for the sick, either directly or indirectly. You've heard that somebody is ill. You take the matter to God in prayer and pray for that person. You can do your acts of kindness through intercession. There are so many, whether you know them or not, there are people who need your prayers. There are people in this same country where the gospel seems to be open, whose eyes are shut to the gospel. Acts of kindness include praying for them to receive the gospel, to open their eyes, that God would open their eyes that they may see this gospel. For those of us who are professionals, pro bono, what they call pro bono services, free services can be done for people who don't have acts of kindness. You're a lawyer, a poor man comes to you, he doesn't have anything, and you say you're a Christian, you can help that man without collecting a penny from the man. And God will amply reward you. So one of the ways by which we saw the early Christians doing acts of kindness was in utilizing the authority that God had given to them to bring succor to many. You can see that they didn't ask the blind man whether he was born again or not. The lame man, whether he was born again or not, they just used the authority in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, rather, and raised the man up. Thereafter, they began to preach. But the first thing was to get that man out of his state, and then they preached. Sometimes we overdo these things, and then we now get carried away and think that it is just to display miracle signs and wonders. No. The end result is to... One of the crucial parts of acts of kindness is the declaration of the word of God, the good news of the gospel. If we give them things and don't declare the good news of the gospel, we have not finished our acts of kindness. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, and then I'm going to read Acts chapter 4, 32 and then 34 to 37. Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45 first. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Let's go to chapter 4 of Acts, and I'm going to read verse 32, and then I'll skip 33 and read 34 to 37. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. This amplifies on what we had read in Acts chapter 2 earlier. These people were of the same heart, same mind. They had the mind of Christ. Remember, we said last week that until you become a child of God, you cannot perform the works of God, which includes acts of kindness. You must first become before you can perform. And these people, they had the mind of God. They were of the same mind, of the same heart. No one said, oh, this is mine. No. They considered it to be a commonwealth for everybody. Verse 34 to 37. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. It's crucial. Today, when we lay things at the apostles' feet, the apostles will take everything. And the needy are still there looking for what to get. In verse 36, it says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He gave us one man who was an example. And the early church did this for us to understand how we are to do it. I listened to a video on social media that was upsetting to me, because it shows how far the church has gone in the negative, away from God. A woman put on Facebook a video. What was the video about? About her sister. Apparently she lives in Europe, and the sister said she wanted to do business and needed financial assistance. So this woman sent money to the sister to do her business. Then the request never stopped. She wants more financial assistance. She wants more financial assistance. Ah, after a while she said, but I set you up for business. What's going on? I said, that business that you have to give first fruit. So she gave her first fruit from the profit of the business to her pastor. So the woman said, then go and ask your pastor. Since you could give the profit of your business to the church, go and ask that church to help you. I don't have any more money to be assisting. I have our mother to take care of. I have some of my brothers to take care of. It's a proper thing. And the lady now said, no, it's not my direct pastor that collects it. It's his oga, the overseer, that collects it. Hey, then go to the overseer. And then this woman proceeded to announce in that video that the overseer and all those who know the overseer should come and help her sister. Such things we shouldn't be hearing. If there's a need in the house of God, it should be met in the house of God. We cannot be taking, and we're not giving anything in return. Of course, we don't know much about, the authenticity of the story that the sister had been telling. But for somebody to make that a video and place on Facebook, she must have reached a point where she said, enough is enough. Many people have said that the New Testament does not talk about tithe and offering. Be that as it may, I don't agree with them 100%, because there are portions of the New Testament where tithe and offering is mentioned. But be that as it may, we can see from this example in Acts 2 and Acts 4 that there was no need to talk about tithe and offering, because there was more than enough to meet the needs in the church, meet the needs of the apostles, and all those people who were working in the church. I skipped verse 33 on purpose. Look at verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. It says, and with great power. This was after verse 32 that talked about how they sold things and none of them said anything was theirs, that they held all things common. In verse 33 it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why was this possible? Because there was enough. The apostles did not need to be preaching about tithe and offering in the church. Today we have all manner of doctrines about tithing, doctrines about offering, just because we would not do what is right. Our mind, our hearts have not been sold to God, to listen to God and do as He wants us to do. I find Christians who boldly tell us that, well, I don't pay tithe, because when I pay tithe, people will just take the money. Fine. One of the things that people don't understand is that a tithe is what, 10%, right? Your tithe is what I call barest minimum requirement. You are actually expected as a believer to give far more than the tithe. Do you understand that? It's your responsibility to give to the house of God. Either in terms of, either in terms of your cash or in terms of your effort. There are many things that we are employing people for in churches that are ideally people can come and give their service without being employed. There are members in our churches who are builders, and the church wants to build, they will charge the church as though they are charging a business, and that they are part of that church. And they did not contribute a penny to the church building. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, Malachi 3, 8 to 10, we know that scripture very well, where God talked about people who are robbing him because they are not paying their tithes and their offerings. Now, people say that's Old Testament, no problem. But what was the significance? He said that there might be what? Meat in my house. There might be supply. There might be food to sustain those who are doing full-time ministry, to sustain those who are needy in the church. But many people tithe because of the one that God said, if you don't tithe, he said, prove me now. If I will not, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing and stay the hand of the devourer from. That is why we tithe. We're not tithing because of the poor in the church. We're not tithing because we want to meet the needs. Because you see, if you really are tithing because you want to meet the needs, you will come to a conclusion that the tithe is not enough to meet needs in the church. You realize that giving a tithe is barest minimum. You should do more. In their days, they didn't lay emphasis on the matter of tithes and offering. No, it wasn't necessary. Now, somebody would say to me, but that Paul made mention of this matter. So let's go to the first thing I want us to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. And let me just read from verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. I need to explain this. There was a famine in Jerusalem. There was also persecution in Jerusalem. And the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering. So what happened? The Corinthian church actually said they wanted to be of assistance to the church in Jerusalem. So Paul was telling them, there is no need for me to come. When I come, we'll now say, let's gather. Every week, gather it. Because it is easier to gather on a weekly basis. So every week, gather it. So that when it is time, you yourself will appoint those who will go with me with the letter. So you will see that I'm not eating that money on the way. The money is going to where it is meant for. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. With this background, understanding this background, a time now came when the church in Corinth did not do this thing. So, Peter had to write to them. And there are some deep truths that we want to draw out from this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He's writing to the Corinthian church that had promised to bring money to the church in Jerusalem. But now he's saying that I want to tell you something about the Macedonian church, or the churches in Macedonia, that's the province of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These people were poor. These people had affliction. They had challenges. They were being persecuted. But all of this brought out the richness of their giving, their liberality, their openness to give to the work of God. In verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. In other words, they were compelling them to take, even though they knew that we don't have, but take, please take it, please take it. Entreating them that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first, what did they do? Gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. If you have not given yourself to God, you cannot give to the work of God. If you yourself are not there, what gift are you giving? That's when you'll be holding back. I'm not talking about, you see, the issue of doing alms or doing good deeds or giving to people to the house of God, to the work of God, has been abused. Because a lot of people believe that the person to be given to is the pastor. No. We've seen in Acts that they merely laid it at the apostles' feet for distribution. Sadly, many of our own apostles today have collabed everything to themselves. Buying cars, building houses. And yet we have church members who are poor. And this is what I'm saying to you. Enough of this giving to pastor. Give to your brother who is next to you, who has a need. Give to that fellow that you see next to you. Give him. Leave the pastor alone. If God wants you to give to the pastor, he will speak to you specifically. If God doesn't speak to you specifically, don't worry about me. At least me. Specifically. Don't worry about even the pastors. Give to your brothers who are next to you. The story I told you of. If that sister was in a church where indeed the Spirit of God was operating in the hearts of men, why would somebody not have seen that this sister had a need? Is it difficult for us to know that people have needs and help to meet those needs? But no, we wouldn't do that. These people will give themselves first to God, and so their goods could follow. In verse 6 it says, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. He said, when we saw this, we had to run. Tell Titus, quickly, go and tell these Corinthians. See what these poor Macedonians are doing. Corinth was a commercial city. It's like talking of a church in, say, let's look at the church where? In Ogoniland, or in Degema, or in Okrika, in the hinterlands. And then you now talk of another church in, say, Abuja or Lagos. Corinth was like the Abuja or Lagos. The Macedonian churches were like the churches in Ogoni, in Degema, in Okrika, in the hinterlands. They, of their own poverty, were bringing things to take to Jerusalem. And these ones were still sitting down there. That's why he wrote this. In verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. The grace of doing good, it is a grace, it's a gift that God has given to us by His Spirit. It's not enough to talk of, I have faith. Oh, I can preach. Oh, I can do this. I can do that. I'm working for the Lord. What of your giving? Your doing good deeds. Giving of not just your substance, but of yourself primarily. There are many people who can go to do missions. They will not do, they will sit down and send money. Give of yourself first. Let us see whether your money will not follow you when you are going. In verse 8, it says, I speak not by commandment. Not that. I speak not by... Nobody can force you to give. Nobody can compel you to do good. It is something that comes because of the nature of God that is in you. If you don't have the nature of God in you, don't worry. Don't give. Don't give. In fact, there are some ministries, when they do crusade, they don't take off. Because the crusade is meant for the unbelievers. So they don't take off. But not us. One of the chief things about the crusade is to take offering to defray the cost. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. What is making Paul write? He says, because I've seen what poor people are doing. And I know you guys can do it. I know you have it. So what are you doing? Acquiring more things? Is that what you are doing? Making acquisitions? In verse 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What is he saying here? Because I've heard this verse of scripture abused and bastardized. The Lord Jesus had so much, and he abandoned those things and came down to the earth and now brought of his grace and began to give to people. Poverty has to do with emptying of yourself, not having anything. So he became poor, he emptied of himself, giving us richly of his grace, of his mercy, of his kindness, of his goodness, of his love. He emptied himself so that we might be rich, we might be full, we might abound in those things. That's what he's saying here. It's not necessarily money. And what he's implying here is that since Jesus did this, you who have this world's goods, start distributing. You also become poor so that others can be made rich. Do you understand? In fact, one of the things that the Lord has shown me in scripture is that your level of giving is determined by what you have left after you have given. The more you have left after you have given, the less you have given. The less you have after you have given, the more you have given. That was why he applauded the widow who dropped her two mites, because she had nothing left after she had dropped those two. But the other people, he said, out of the abundance, they have given just a token. Even when we are praying on offering in church, we say, out of the abundance you have blessed us, we have given you a token. Because that's all we do. We just come and drop token for God and begin to beat our chests. The man who will drop an offering of 50 naira in the church will step out of the church and will buy, what's it called now? Meat pie of 500 naira. How much is meat pie now? Is it 200 naira or something? 200, meat pie of 200 naira. We'll buy 200 naira meat pie. We'll buy at least Coke of 100 naira. If he doesn't buy fruit juice. But he gave 50 naira in the church. But went to satisfy himself. And he's the one who will be complaining. What are they using our money for? And you wonder, what money? In verse 10, he says, and herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. You have been speaking about this thing for 1 year. 1 year you have been talking, you are going to give. And you are not even facing the kind of persecution the churches in Macedonia are facing. And they have already gathered their own. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Please note that. Nobody is asking you to give what you don't have. This idea of people borrowing money to pay tithe. They say it's an act of faith. It's an act of foolishness. God never asks you to tithe on something you have not received. Don't go and borrow money to give. Don't go and steal money to give. It's what you have that you give. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. It doesn't have to be money. Verse 12. For if there be first, what? A willing mind. This is a crucial thing. Are you willing to give? It says, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If there is a willingness in your heart, give what you have. 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. No, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Those of you who have much, give to those who don't have. A time will come when those who don't have will give of what they have. And quite frankly, most people, when they receive things like that, they are so thankful to God. And that thanksgiving is actually an abundance that flows from their hearts unto God for you. In verse 15 it says, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. So what are we talking about here? We are saying that there should be no lack in the house of God. Those who have, bless those who don't have. Those who don't have, you can pray for those who already have and have given to you. We should be able to share in the house of God. Give of what you have, not of what you don't have. The Lord is asking us to abound in giving. Let me read something to you in 3 John. You know, we like to quote verse 2 of 3 John, but I want to read beyond that verse 2. Because he was writing a letter to Gaius, a man who was doing good deeds. But he made reference to one Diotrephes. Diotrephes. Okay, so let me read from verse 9. It says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He didn't receive what John had written to the church. He was not even interested in it. In verse 10 it says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and what does he do? Forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You won't do. You won't let those who want to do. If you won't do, leave those who want to do. You don't want to pay your tithe? No problem. Don't pay tithe. Keep it. God is not a beggar. Leave those who want to give. And here, he was talking about people in those days. It should be the same here. When a man of God comes to visit, now the approach is different. Now I hear that they even ask you, they will tell you what you are going to give them. No, it's whatever you have, you give to the man. But you are supposed to send him on his way. Which means you are paying his transportation. You are taking care of his feeding from point A to point B. These are normal things that the scriptures teach. But we don't do that anymore. A man of God visits. He's blessed the church. Whether the church gives him a check or not, those who are in the church should say, let me bless this man. Let me give to him. It's a normal thing. But if I told you now that if you gave pastor money, you will have 1,000 times increase, and show you from scripture how people were blessed by giving to men of God, you will quickly drop money. Even if it means you removing your plucking your eye to give me, you will give, because you want 1,000 fold. Not because you love God. Not because you are concerned for the work of God. But because you think that there is a reward behind it. That's not the teaching. We give out of love for God. We give to God, not to men. Is that understood? It is God we are giving to. Remember, I think we quoted it last week, where the Bible says that he that lendeth to the poor, that he that giveth to the poor, lendeth unto God, and God will repay. We don't lend to the poor, we give to the poor, but our giving to the poor it means that we are lending unto God, and God will repay. Let's just practice the word of God. There's too much flamboyance. Christians are sending their children to schools that they can barely afford, just so that they can be counted as one of the Joneses. Why do we do those things? I went to public school, and I bet I speak better English than many of those children that you're sending to those schools. I have a better understanding of the realities of this world than many of those children that you're spending millions on. One of my brothers was sharing with me some time back. He needed some money to pay his child's school fees. So he called this friend of his that please, I need somebody. Say, right now his head is thinking of how he's going to pay his child school fees. How much are you paying for your child school fees? Was it about 300,000 naira? Which child are you talking about? He's talking about a 6-year-old who is in primary school. 300,000 naira. He said, just cut off the line. That, have you seen a crazy man? What are you spending 300,000 on a 6-year-old for what? Per term. 1 million naira a year. Not including the other things that child is going to get. Are we mad? What are they going to teach? What are they teaching that child? Please tell me. I went to a public school. I learned more than they are learning today. I speak better English than they speak. Far better than they speak. We were not taught computers, but I can use the computer better than many of them. Many of them use computers for pornography and crazy things. Let's be very careful that what God has given to us as a blessing does not become a curse. We spend so much money on frivolities, thinking only of ourselves, our families, our children, not the work of God, not the poor in the church. How can we be content to be in a church where we are all well-dressed and we see some people who are not well-dressed and nothing pinches our hearts that these people need something? We will gladly give to beggars when we get outside, but the ones inside the church, we don't, because they have not begged us. And even when they beg us, somebody is begging you, I need money, you will tell him to come and see you in the office on Monday. Where is the money to take transport to come and see you on Monday? Are we so wicked? We need to be very, very careful. Acts of kindness, like we said last week, is what we are doing is we are becoming the hands of God in this dark world. If you are not helping the brother that is sitting next to you, the sister that is sitting next to you, when you have the ability to help, what God are you saying you are serving? I believe it's 1 John chapter 3 or so, where the Bible makes it clear that if you do not love your brother whom you see, how can you say you love God whom you cannot see? And that we say, let us not love in word only, but let us love also in deed, in our doing. It is this sin that has made many pastors to put rules and regulations. It is not right, but sometimes I think that is the only language people understand. Some pastors will put a box in front of their office that before you see them, you must drop a beautiful offering there. Otherwise, don't come and see them. And even though they are in the office, there is somebody sitting outside there with that box to see what you have dropped. You bring this, you want to bring 5,000 for Papa. No, that's too small. Go. If you don't have at least 10 or 15,000, don't bring. I'm not saying it's right, but can I blame them? They know you have, but you won't give. Like that fellow I told you, who called me and said, declare, man of God, declare. What kind of nonsense is that? You will declare, declare, declare. Then, when the man has gotten, he will go to his big church and give testimony and drop his tithe and his offering there. I'm not saying that I want that. What I'm trying to say is that we are just not being truthful to ourselves. There's a lot of dishonesty in the church of God. Acts chapter 9, 36 to 43. This is the story of Dorcas. And I'm reading the full thing for a purpose. Acts chapter 9 from 36 to 43. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of what? Good works. And what? Alms deeds. Which she did. Is that in your Bible? And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh, or Lydda was nigh by Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. And what were they doing? Showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. It was from here that Cornelius came to send for him. Now, the point I want to draw out here, and I want to ask you is, the Bible talked about how Dorcas was full of good works and alms deeds, of good deeds, of acts of kindness. Not only was it so, but it was even shown. When Peter got there, what happened? The widows came and showed. See what she gave to me. Oh, see what she did for me. Can your good works be seen? Can we show it to the Lord? Oh Lord, help this brother. Lord, this brother has been so kind. When I had need, it was this brother that gave me. When I had this, it was this brother that made this need. When this was happening, it was this brother that did this. Can your good deeds be shown? Can we see it? Can people speak of the good deeds that you have done? Can they say, you were the one, brother? I've heard of people like that. They meet you at a motor park or at an airport or something. They say, Pastor, you say, no, you were the one that came to preach in our church the day I gave my life to Christ. Can they say such about us? In Proverbs chapter 27 verse 2, it says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Enough of this. We are giving testimony. I prayed and this happened. I did this and that happened. Enough of that. Let other people be telling us what you are doing. Let's do our deeds and keep quiet. Our good deeds will speak for us. Dorcas was not there to speak. She had died. But her good deeds spoke for her. And I want to believe that God returned her so that she can continue to do good deeds. If it was you, what would they show? They say, please bring him back. He's owing money. So I can come and pay his debt. Let him not escape and come and drop dead for us. You say, okay, bring him back. He has my computer. I borrowed him. He has it. Please bring him back and let him return that confession. Then he can go back. Is that what they will say about us? How many people can we say, I spoke to this brother and I followed him up until he was standing and established in the world? These are good deeds. And I'm not saying that you should say that. Let the brother say, that fellow followed me up. It was he that taught me how to do follow-up. When I saw the way he followed me up and made sure I was, I made up my mind that I will follow other people up. Can they say that about you? What are the good deeds that we are doing? I'm not talking of the one you are posting about. No. Let other people speak, like the Bible says. Don't be the one singing your praise. Let others praise you. Have you brought the message of salvation to other people? Have you preached the word of God to people? They are good. That's a good deed. Because you are teaching, you are telling that man to come out of darkness, to come out of the bondage of Satan and come into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many of us cannot even preach a simple message like that. Our messages now are tied to how we can make money. If you come to Christ, look, this is poverty you're having, is over. You will begin to have money. And people come to Christ and become frustrated. Some people believe that stealing is a way of making money. Christ never promised anybody to come to him to make money. He told us to come so that all the burdens, the heavy loads can be removed and we can have rest in our spirit, man. Worship him in spirit and in truth, in peace. Man, are you doing these good deeds on a daily basis? Are you doing it regularly? Not a one-off thing. Some of us collect our salary. Once we collect the salary, it's gone. There's no provision to help somebody. No provision to help somebody. Before the end of the month, you are broke. It is true, you are going to be broke. Because the multiplication of your income comes by what you do with it. And I think we read, three or four weeks ago, when we did the introduction, God's command to those who are rich in this world, that they should make sure that they do good deeds with their wealth, so that they can lay up in future eternal life for themselves, the assurance of eternal life. In other words, you say you are born again, you are not full of good deeds, forget about eternal life. You see, we are fooling ourselves by believing that all we need to do is believe, and then we do nothing. If you believe, you will do good deeds. Do you understand that? If you indeed believe, the good deeds will follow. Now, I want to discuss this matter of hypocrisy. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Remember in Acts chapter 4, when we read Acts chapter 4, we mentioned the matter, this fellow called Barnabas, son of consolation. Remember? How he sold something and gave, you know, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, that takes directly into chapter 5, verse 1. So if there was no chapter, it would have continued. Do you understand that? It's a continuation. They mention this guy because they're about to mention somebody who was acting out of hypocrisy and deception. Do you understand that? Because of Barnabas's action, what's his name again now? No, not Ananias. Joseph. Joseph, they called him Barnabas, son of consolation, because of the way he conducted himself and his good deeds that he was doing. So they gave him that nickname, son of consolation, Barnabas. This fellow, I don't know, maybe he too desired a nickname or a position or a title. I don't know. It's the story of Ananias. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it starts by saying what? But. What does but tell you now? Something positive, but something negative is about to come. Something negative, but there's something positive. So but is a conjunction that joins two sentences or two statements together. One positive, the other negative, on either side of the but. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst, listen to this, so because some people have misinterpreted all of this. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. We know the rest of the story. What they were saying is this. You sold property. Let's say you sold it for 5 million. What I want to bring to the apostles' feet is 2 million. Is it wrong? It's not. Remember, it's not by force. It's a willingness in your heart. So he brings 2 million, drops at the apostles' feet, and they asked him, thank you. And maybe, whether they asked him or not, maybe he came and said, you know, my wife and I, we sold one of our properties, and this is the money from the property. Why didn't he say, we sold the property for 5 million, but what we want to bring is 2 million? He didn't say that. He lied. Peter said, this lie is not to men, it's to the Holy Ghost. Many of us don't understand. You see, we don't understand spiritual things. We look at them from a natural perspective. When we tell you to do acts of kindness, are we asking you to do it for me or for another man? No, you are doing it to God. Every act of kindness that is done on the earth here is to God. That is why we do not do it to receive thanks from men. It is God who will tell us thank you. Remember that in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible tells us not to be like the hypocrites when we do alms. You remember that? Matthew chapter 6 verse 2. Let's just read that very quickly. It says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Why are they sounding alms? Because they want to be recognized. Which was what Ananias and Sapphira were doing here. Sir, see Brother Joe is being recognized though. You better let us do something quickly. What can we do? Oh, let's sell that property. We don't have to give everything. We just go and just drop something. At least they will see that we have dropped something. And that's all. And that's what they did. And they came as though that was all that was how much they sold it. Nobody was saying that they should drop all 5 million. If you don't have the grace to drop 5 million, you have the grace for 2 million. Drop the 2 million and say, well, we sold 5 million, but bro, what I can afford now is 2 million. There's no big deal there. The good deed, in quotes, of Ananias and Sapphira was out of deception. Or maybe for competition, competing against Barnabas. Or perhaps for public acclaim. Say, hey, this man too sold. You know, that was how the Bible was talking about Barnabas. That he sold all and gave. Ananias and Sapphira too, they sold all and they gave. God was not going to have any of that. So I said here, if your good deeds are to deceive, to compete, and for publicity, your religion is false. Your religion is fake. Your religion is useless and it is meaningless. You don't do good deeds because somebody else is doing it. So you want to copy that person. No. Remember our earlier definition. It is out of a heart of what? Love. Your good deeds must have at the back of it the love, your love for God, which God has given to you anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 3 to the A part of verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 3. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. These are good deeds, right? And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or agape love, it profited me nothing. It doesn't matter what you are doing. If it is not out of a heart of love for God, it's useless. It's meaningless. It's fake religion. It's false religion. In verse 4 it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. No pride, no arrogance. No lifting up. Have you seen Pastor Shu? We are the ones that bought it, my wife and I. When we travel, we just said, Pastor, his shoe he's wearing is too old. So we bought him. It's not out of love. Do you understand? You kitted the man of God to show people that you are the one who kitted him. Some people will buy you They will give you something. If you have not worn it, they will ask, ah, Pastor, didn't you don't like the shirt I bought for you? You may have bought a shirt for me. Must I wear it? I can give it to somebody else. So stop monitoring to see whether I'm going to wear it or not. God can tell me to sew that shirt into somebody else's life. And if you're looking for the shirt, you won't see it. Verse 5. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. This act of kindness is actually what is called charity because it is love. That's why we called it at the beginning, charitable deeds or acts of charity. This is love in action. Let us not love in word only, but also in deed. It's good, it's doing good deeds. These are acts of kindness. Your love must translate to good deeds. You travel somewhere, you should have at the back of your mind, what can I get for A? What can I get for B? Maybe you can't buy for everybody. Buy for one or two people who have need and give to them. Give it secretly. They don't have to know. Other people don't have to know that they are doing it. Just do it and walk away from there. Let it be between you and God. Good deeds are missing in the body of Christ. That's why we see a lot of selfishness, self-centeredness. A man can be in a church and have 6 cars. What for? What for? To what advantage? What is he doing with all those cars? He will have house in Port Harcourt, have house in Lagos, have house in Benin. What are you doing with all those houses? I remember a friend of mine telling me when the recession came in and people started selling things. He himself is a pastor. He said to me, he said, Ray, the Lord told me that we did wrong. That when we had, we spent it on ourselves. So that this recession is not against it is the church that brought about the recession. We were buying jets. Come and see private jets at Nigerian airports. We're buying private jets, we're buying cars, building houses, pastors and church members alike. But we had the poor in our midst who still could not send their children to school, still cannot send their children to school. But we have paid for our children to school overseas. The fellow that was called the underwear bomber, they said he's Nigerian, he's only Nigerian by birth. His father sent him to primary school in the Republic of Benin. He went to secondary school and university in the UK. And then went to Yemen to be radicalized. Before, is he a Nigerian? He's not. He's not a Nigerian. And this man was working in a bank, earning fat money to send a child to go and be. What did the child become eventually? A terrorist. If he had been under his nose, he would have been able to train that child and monitor him and raise him. The boy would have authority figure on him. But no, we dispatch our children to anywhere. And then we stay alone, spending millions of naira. One day, a friend of mine came to see me. He was sad. So I wondered what was going on. After some time, he opened up, he said to me, he said, my child insulted me. He was disturbed. We raise children who have no regard for anybody because we have washed our hands off them. We send them to expensive schools thinking that, what do you think they're going to teach them there? Meanwhile, you have every opportunity to raise them in a moderate place and still be of help to people in the church. I'm not talking of the pastor. God will take care of the pastor. Take care of the people in the church. But no, we will not. It is pastor who will give. He will give pastor millions. Pastor will thank you very much. Keep it. It's in his account. But there are poor people there that will not give anything. Let us change our ways. Let's pray. I think one question that we need to ask is the Spirit of God in you? Because if he is in you, I don't know how you can be selfish still. I don't know how you can be self-centered still. I don't know how you can think of yourself alone. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good. What good deeds have you done? If something were to happen today, will men be able to show the good deeds you have done for them? Either by saying, it was this brother that preached and my soul was saved. It was when I saw the way this brother was conducting himself that I came to investigate what kind of religion he has. And there God arrested me and I became born again. Can that be said of you? Can it be said of you when you get to heaven that you interceded and somebody was removed from the throes of death, of untimely death? Can it be said of us? Or are we just selfish, self-centered and self-focused, unwilling to give to those who have needs? Sometimes we give to pastors because we just want recognition. We want the pastors to recognize us as the people who are bringing these things. But the man who is sitting next to you Would you give to him? All he needs is a meal or two or three to take care of his family, to pay a paltry fee for his child. Some of the local schools that we have around here, school fees is no more than 15,000 naira, 20,000 naira. Have you made up your mind and said, let me take it up and give somebody a scholarship till that child leaves that primary school? 15,000 a term, that's fair enough, I can do that. Without anybody knowing, you just go to the principal and say, madam, this child, don't let the father know, just tell the father that he's on, from now on the child is on scholarship. Let them buy the books and whatever, but the school fees I will pay. Please don't let anybody know, I beg you, and you are paying it. These are things that should be a part of our lives. No, we are not. Instead, we have acquired the taste that something that can be purchased for 30,000, if it is not 150,000, we consider it cheap, we will not buy it. So the designers know what to do. They just put something on the label, on their clothing, and sell it for some horrendous amount, and we'll buy. We're happy. It's designer suit, designer skirt, designer shirt, designer shoe. We're happy with that. The same shoe without the designer label, somebody else will wear it. We need to talk to the Lord about the way we are living our lives. We need to be an example. We need to manifest the heart of God through our own heart of compassion and of alms doing. It's my prayer that the Almighty God will speak more and more to our hearts, will chastise us, will challenge us more and more, and will bring us to the place where we come to appreciate that we have been made rich so that we can be a blessing to others. We have not been blessed or made rich so that we can sit there and accumulate and gloat over what we have. We have been blessed so that we can distribute that blessing to those who are not as blessed, who are not as endowed as we are. I pray, Father, for us all, that you will help us to come to that realization and that understanding, that no matter how little we have, that indeed, Lord, that little we'll be able to share with others. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.